You're listening to the Wheeler Dealer Podcast, supported by Gardex, industry-leading automotive products, including paint and interior protection, insurance products, and digital solutions. To find out more, visit gardexgroup.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Wheeler Dealer Podcast. It's me, Mike Brewer, and sitting beside me, as ever, in the passenger seat is Mr. Andy J.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm in the back seat.
She's always in the back seat. That's Mrs. B. Welcome to another episode of the podcast, a show that's packed full of the biggest names in the car world, plus celebrity guests, some you know as motoring nuts, others you probably didn't even realise they had a passion for petrol.
Yeah, we are absolutely delighted you're joining us. And if you haven't already done so, do check out our first handful of episodes. Richard Hammond, of course, and then everyone was delighted and surprised that's heard it so far. Matt Goss, who'd have thought he would have loved his cars as much as he did. That was a special chat.
They were both special chats and brilliant listens. And if you want to get in touch with us, please let us know that you're listening and what you're driving. Tell us what you think of the podcast or ask a question. Send me a message and do it on my social medias, which is Mike Brewer on Instagram and Twitter, and Wheeler Dealer on Facebook. Or you can ask a question to Mrs. Brewer.
Yes.
She's right here as well.
I'm always here.
I love it. And listen, thank you so much as well for those of you that have got in touch via the socials and given us the feedback on the pods. It's always nice to have nice things said, isn't it?
Love a bit of feedback.
Yeah. Well, nice feedback's nice.
It's been lovely. It's been very positive. Now, this is going to be a very exciting podcast, this one.
This is a pod with a difference, isn't it?
This is a pod with a difference because I jumped on an aeroplane.
Transatlantic, baby.
I went to go and meet. The only way to describe this fella, right?
Yeah.
It's the Man United of the car world. If
okay.
you think about it, this guy's put a t-shirt on everyone from Dallas, Texas to, I don't know, the Outback in Australia. Almost everywhere I go in the world, somebody is wearing one of these t-shirts. He's a TV personality, an entrepreneur. I've known him for, well, about 10 years, and he's a bit of a legend.
He's a juggernaut of automotive broadcasting.
He certainly is. Ladies and gentlemen, this is when I went and met the one and only Richard Rawlins from Gas Monkey Garage. Welcome to the Wheeler Dealer Podcast and welcome to a little spot just outside Dallas-Fort Worth in Texas where I'm sat in the Gas Monkey Garage with none other than a man I go way back with. It's Mr. Richard Rawlins. Richard, welcome.
Hey, welcome, sir. This is truly a great experience to have you here at Gas Monkey Garage.
Oh, thank you, Richard. It's lovely to be here. The very first thing Richard did when I walked through the door is he gave me a beer. I'm not going to tell you what time of the day it is, but let's just say somewhere in the world it's cocktail hour.
Yeah, the other side.
The other side of the world is cocktail hour, but we're enjoying our beer nonetheless. So, Richard, where did it come from? I mean, you built this amazing empire of which we're going to get to talk about in a second, but everything has a genesis, it has a start point. Where did this passion, this love for all things automotive, where did it come from?
You know, truly, that part came from my dad. We were poor growing up, and my dad worked usually two or three jobs each day, you know, just to make ends meet. But he always had a toy in the garage, you know, whether it was a old beat up Mustang or a Kawasaki, you know, like behind us or whatever. And that was his pride and joy that, you know, and that's was his sanity, I guess. So he always took good care of that. And he taught me to love cars and motorcycles and what have you. He wasn't a mechanic by any means, but he liked to just tinker and clean them. And that was what he was proud of, I guess. And of course, having kids, I guess. I don't know.
So father and son time back then would have been you and your dad in the shop, tinkering with either the bikes or the cars and being together as father and son, working on them or looking after them.
Cleaning, wiping them down, you know, putting little polish doodads on them and things like that, taking them to the weekend car show or at the church parking lot or up at the Burger King parking lot and showing them off whenever he had a day off to do so.
So when you was at school, was you the kid at school, like me, was you the kid at school that had your exercise book and rather than draw pictures of superheroes, you'd be doodling pictures of cars?
Yeah, 23 tea buckets were my specialty, you know, a little square for the motor, a little square for the intake, cool. A little square for the rest of the frame. I mean, it was pretty much just all squares. But, you know, yeah, I mean, I started buying and selling cars because one of my dad's jobs was newspapers, throwing newspapers. And back then, you had a morning paper and an evening paper because you didn't have a computer that tells you everything. You didn't have an iPhone that tells you everything that went on during the day. So I would have to get up at 2 or 3 in the morning and my dad would put me in the back of the car. I'd roll the newspapers and put them in the front seat, and my dad would go down the street and throw them out both sides at the same time. I'd go back home, go to sleep for about an hour, go to school. Then I had to race home from school, get back in the car, and do it again.
Wow.
I did that from the time I was 8, maybe even 7, until I was 17.
Really?
Yeah.
Throwing newspapers.
Yes.
So you must have had a good pitching arm.
No, I sucked at baseball. But what was really cool is I knew where all the cars were. In my neighborhood, you know, about a 5-square-mile area, I knew where every car was, and I was always into cars. And so around age 12, 13, I started riding my bicycle around and buying and selling cars. And I would literally buy a car from some guy out of his garage, and I'd have him drive it to my house so that I could clean it, do whatever on it, and then sell it. I filed my first taxes with the U.S. government when I was 12 years old.
No way.
Yeah.
No way. That's fantastic.
Because my parents were very strict about keeping your money straight,
yeah,
doing things the right way, and they wanted me to understand money. So I was buying and selling cars. I bet I'd sold 100-plus cars, bought and sold, before I was out of high school.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
What was your first car? Do you remember it?
My first personal car that was like my driver was a 74 Mercury Comet, which is basically a Ford Maverick. And it was green on green. It was ugly as hell. But by the time I was done with it, I had put some black accents on the interior and the exterior, put the Grabber Maverick hood on it, Keystone mags, Toyo white letter tires, dual exhaust off the 6-cylinder. It was pretty cool.
So this is the first alliteration, if you like, when you was this young man, of Gas Monkey. This is you taking your first car and hot rodding it, not knowing back then probably that your future was going to be just doing this.
I had no idea that I was going to do this. I mean, I was a police officer, firefighter, and medic before I was old enough to drink, before I was even 21 years old. And I thought that was going to be my life forever. And I ended up leaving that in my late 20s. And got into printing and advertising, and that's what taught me what it was to build a brand.
Yeah,
built my own company from the ground up, and you know, you talk about what started this.
Yeah,
literally was a little bit of a tit for tat or a small argument with my wife at the time. I said, you know what? All these other guys are on TV building motorcycles, and they're kicking boxes and wearing bandanas down to here and acting all tough and stuff.
I think we know who you're talking about.
Well, there's several of them, but yeah. And I was like, they're missing the mark because they're not family friendly. Because I asked my wife one time at the time, you know, with my stepson, I said, why don't you guys watch these shows? And they said, it's too bravado, too rough. You know, they're always yelling and screaming at each other and acting tough and fighting. And I was like, well, they need to build a brand that is more family friendly. And so I was telling my wife this, and I said, I think I could sell my company, build this brand. She goes, oh, so you're just going to sell your company and get on TV and have a brand and be those guys. And I was like, oh, yeah. So you think I can't? That was really the antithesis of it. And she's like, I'm like, oh, you don't think I can do that. So here we are.
Well, listen, all great ideas usually sperm from somebody saying you can't do it. Mm-hmm. And if you've got a determination to do it, and you can turn it into something. But you sort of turned it into more, I suppose, what the rest of the world would consider more than the sum of its parts, because you turn what was basically a little concept for an idea for Gas Monkey, but you somehow put it on a global platform almost instantaneously. But what was that like, that very first moment when you went, okay, well, I got this, because I remember the first shop, it was like a tin shed, mm-hmm, wasn't it, in the middle of nowhere. You created this shop out of this tin shed. You more or less got like one or two cars that you had done, so you haven't got the world's greatest brand to go with at the time, but somehow you captured this little spot that was missing in TV world, and this little spot that was missing in what this new world of social media, which was just beginning back then, and you managed to capture that.
Well, I think that, you know, what a lot of people don't know that watched us on TV, but that was 2012. I started the company back in 2004, and with the sole purpose of trying to build a brand with the recognition, with cars and motorcycles, to get popular enough to maybe catch the eye of the networks, you know, somebody like Discovery or what have you, and then get a TV show and then expand into all these other arenas. So it really was an idiotic, very long-range plan that had no chance of survival. But I stuck to the core value, which was family. When I was growing up and my dad's friends and my uncles and aunts, everybody was family, playing with cars and motorcycles. And I stuck to that. And, you know, instead of kicking boxes and yelling at people, we worked out our problems and we made cars. The family element was really the success.
And when you're talking about family, you're not necessarily talking about your wife and your family. You're talking about the guys that you're working with.
The guys, yeah. The guys and girls that work here at the shop. I mean, you just met Daphne. I didn't even tell you, but she's actually my sister.
Yeah, I know Daphne.
She's worked for me forever. And, you know, a lot of these guys, I mean, Phipps has been here forever. And, you know, it's just we really are a tight-knit group that want to get accomplish fun things and have a blast doing it. And, you know, now that we're on the other side, past cable, we're really having a good time. I mean, this is the most relaxed and best health I've ever been in my life. To, you know, being on cable, you know it. It's a work. It's a lot of work.
Back then, I think when me and you, we were hanging out in 2004 somewhere in New York, I think you were doing like 27, 28 shows a year. And that is a sausage link of work, isn't it? It's like, no, get these shows out.
See, you're off on your time frame. It wasn't until
2012, when we was at in New York, do you remember?
By 14 or 15, I had... about 15, I had four different shows on Discovery.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And was cranking out somewhere around 50 episodes a year.
So that's a show a week.
It was insane. I mean, we got to the point to where an episode of Fast and Loud had to happen in 23 days. That's a whole car from the start all the way down and all the way back up. And we did that 168 times. We built 168 cars. Most hot rod shops in their entire lifespan, till the guy retires, might build 20, 25 cars.
Yeah. Yeah.
We built 168 cars in freaking 8 years.
It's incredible, isn't it?
It
is incredible. And those cars are still out there circulating around and being famous and incredible. In terms of Gas Monkey, because we're going to talk about where you've taken it since, but in terms of this brand that you created, did you ever expect when you had this TV show, you're knocking out a show a week, building a custom car every 23 days, did you ever realise or think back then that this brand Gas Monkey was resonating, not only because I've lived and worked in America for years, and America is a very closed shop in terms of where they think the rest of the world is, but did you realise and expect that somewhere in Australia, somewhere in New Zealand, somewhere in Germany, somewhere in Finland, Sweden, is walking around in a Gas Monkey t-shirt?
I don't think that I expected it, but I did want it. I built Gas Monkey to be a global brand. I looked at the brands that were on TV at the time, and I said, I want to do better. I want to be that big. I mean, it wasn't that I didn't like those guys. I just wanted to be the best, and I wanted the brand to be the best, and I wanted, you know, children, women, I wanted them wearing the brand. I wanted the men wearing the brand. You know, a lot of guys, you can go back to the beginning of the cable days, and they had their Choppers shirt or whatever,
yeah,
but they couldn't wear it around the wife.
Yeah.
You know, they couldn't wear it to the picnic at the church. You know, that was not allowed. So we really wanted to build a brand that was very oriented in family and tradition and just cool stuff. I mean, my dad was a super cool guy, but he was also a father and had several jobs and paid his bills and, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Well, I mean, you can go anywhere in the world. I mean, literally anywhere in the world. And I've done it and land and you'll see somebody in a Manchester United Football Club shirt. But behind them, there'll be somebody standing in a Gas Monkey shirt.
That's rad.
It's that's pretty cool, isn't it? I mean, I think I've taken several pictures from around the world and sent them to you.
Yes, you have.
And said, here's another one, Richard, wherever I am on the planet. So you created this brand here in Texas, and you put it on a global map. And there's not many... remind people out there, you're not Coca-Cola. You're not Miller Lite. You're not this huge, great big conglomerate. This company, you're a guy.
Well, no, I'm a team. I'm all of Gas Monkey, and it takes everybody here to do what we do and wherever we do it around the world. So it's not just about me. It's about the ethos of who we are, and we're family. We build, we do, we get out there, we have fun. We muck it up. I mean, a lot of people reach whatever this celebrity BS status you call what you and I are, And they hide in the shadows or they walk around with security. I mean, I roll into somewhere and sit the regular booth and hang out with people, buy some beers, do some shots, you know, whatever, you know. At the end of the day, just like right now, there's people standing out at the gate. Those are the people that put the steak on the plate. And if you don't appreciate them, they'll go away.
Yeah. I will just vouch for that, a little digression here, because I will vouch for that. Me and Richard have appeared at the SEMA show, which is this great big show, happens in Vegas every year. It's to do with the automotive industry. And when you get down to SEMA, we get to hang out with some other celebrities from other car shows. And these guys may have had one season of a car show that's been on TV, and they turn up, all of them, like rock stars with sunglasses on and an entourage of 20 people. There's Richard walking around seen with a bottle of water in his hand, and me usually with my wife Michelle tracing on behind me, and that's our entourage. You know, we're just two guys walking around just gooking at the cars and the stuff on display. And you get these guys that turn up and they bring an entourage of people with them, and I stopped some very famous, I won't say they are, but, well, they weren't that famous, but they were brothers, so I'll leave it there.
Yeah.
And they were walking around with sunglasses on and stopped me in the corridor, and I reminded them, we were inside. I was going, guys, we're inside, and you're wearing sunglasses. You know, get a grip. You know, you've had one season, just let it go.
Yeah.
You know, but take your sunglasses off because you look silly. You're not Bon Jovi. You're just guys that fix up cars.
Exactly. Now, I like to have fun with the people. I stop and I get stopped all the time. I've missed airplanes because I'm signing autographs or hanging out or get to talking with somebody. That's really the fun of what I think where I'm at is that so many people come to me with cool stories or my dad did this or my mom has this car or whatever. And I'm like, kick ass, you know. It's so fun to sit and enjoy those stories and know that you brought a little bit of passion to those
people. You inspire people. Yeah, you inspire people. It's fantastic, isn't it? We are blessed in that
sense.
You
want to know what inspiration is?
Yeah, go on.
Let me show you.
What, another can? Oh, yeah, that's inspiration right there.
That's right.
Cheers, brother.
Cheers.
So let's move on to where we are now. So Gas Monkey is now going through this new, well, it's like a rebirth, isn't it, Gas Monkey?
Yeah, it really is. What we do in the next 5 years, I promise you, mark your calendar right now for today's date. What I do in the next 5 years is going to make the last 15 look like nothing. We are fixing to turn on the afterburners, so to speak, and get after it. We're going on a much larger global scale with the restaurants and bars, relaunching tequila, vodka rum. I've got some designs on maybe launching a beer. Sorry, Miller Lite, but you don't pay me anymore. So I'm going to.
And you're certainly not paying me either.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do it myself. And just a lot of really cool stuff that is in the works.
Tell us about this YouTube channel that you've created, because it's gone, well, kind of crazy, hasn't it? In the time that you launched this channel, you go from zero to hero, and you got there really quickly. But your content is so relevant and fun to car guys.
We're having fun. We're going and buying cars out of barns and this and that. I mean, tomorrow I'm going to buy a 72 Ford Pinto, okay? Not all that exciting, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to Durant, Oklahoma, and I'm going to have some fun buying a Pinto. You know, that's just how it is. But we have fun, and we goof off, whether we're stopping and eating the world's largest burrito or trying to eat, you know, a steak in Amarillo in 30 minutes, you know, and, you know, building things like this dragster that we're going to have out on the road, you know, just really, really cool stuff. And what's going to happen in the very near future is going to blow people's mind.
Well, I can't wait. It's going to be really exciting, a very exciting future. Hopefully you remember that your cell number, my cell number is in your phone. And at some point you might, you know.
I will have my people call your people.
People, there you go. My people is Michelle. That's about it. That's my people. My
lovely
little wife.
I don't have people anymore. I had a manager and an agent and lawyers and all that crap in Hollywood.
Just get away with it. Just do away with all that stuff. It's so much better to just be free, isn't it?
Horrible. I mean, it's just, they don't do anything. They just wait on the phone to ring and then they
and then they take
cut.
15%. Exactly. I know.
Like, what?
Thank you for listening to the Wheeler Dealer podcast brought to you by the Gardex Group. Gardex offer a range of award-winning automotive products, including paint and interior protection, insurance products, and digital solutions. Whether you're buying your next car or you're an automotive dealer, look no further. Go with Gardex. To find out more, visit GardexGroup.com.
You're listening to the Wheeler Dealer podcast.
So, Richard, you've got this amazing future that we're really looking forward to with Gas Monkey. You recently did a video, which was hilarious, where you went to Barrett Jackson Car Auctions in Scottsdale. You go there just as Richard Rawlins. You've not got a TV crew with you. You just went there as Richard Rawlins, and you said it was just awesome. But you being you, because you can't keep your hand in your pocket, especially at a car auction, you come home with a rocket car?
Yeah, the little rocket car. A guy drove up in the back parking lot where we all park, and he drove up in it. And I was like, well, it runs, and it's wacky, so I got to have it. And it turned out it's a guy from a lawyer garage, and we have done some business together before on a couple of cars. And I was like, dude, I just got to have it. He goes, well, I wasn't going to sell it. Famous last words. And so I got myself a rocket, and we're going to kind of tailor it up a little bit, and it may end up being kind of a staple around here.
Yeah.
I can see
it mounted on the ceiling somewhere, yeah. Almost as if it's going to blast into space.
Oh, I went to space just last week. You got to go to my YouTube and watch that. It's freaking great.
Make sure that you look at Gas Monkey on YouTube, particularly the Rocket Car episode. It's very, very funny.
Well, there's like several hundred episodes up there now. So if you haven't been watching us because you don't know that we're not on cable anymore and you're watching all the reruns, YouTube for sure. Shameless plug. Sorry, let's get back to the show.
Right. Okay, now we have this nice little format point that we've been doing with our guests each week, and it has been really enlightening to see what makes people tick. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a fantasy road trip, okay? So it's pure fantasy. So you could choose anyone, living, alive, dead, any car that you want. But first up, first and foremost, we need to get you a car. So Mike Brewer's got this amazing garage. It's got every kind of car that was ever created on the planet in that garage, and I'm going to give you one to go on this amazing journey. What are you going to choose?
Well, that's hard because I have to figure out where I'm going on this journey first. So then I've got to pick the actual vehicle.
And I am going to ask you where you are going on this journey. So, for instance, you know, when I had this question with Richard Hammond, he said, well, I want to start in the Lake District, but then there's a big hill to get out of the Lake District. So he chose a Subaru 22B because he thought that would be a really cool car to run up the hill in.
What is that?
It's a little rally car, but for the road.
How does Richard Hammond get his head into that?
He can't. That's very good. He can get, you know, Richard Hammond's quite small. It's quite small. But anyway, yeah, he chose one of those. David Gandy, the world's most beautiful man, he chose an Aston Martin DB5. You know, so I'm waiting to see what Richard Rawlins would take.
How many people do I got to carry?
You're going to carry four people.
I got to carry four people. All right, so it has to be a sedan or something.
Could be a convertible sedan. Rolls-Royce Corniche, could be anything, you know.
I like the Corniches. I'm a big Rolls fan. I got a couple the next door. But, you know, probably because I'm going to probably cruise Route 66 here in America because I've never done it.
Okay.
I've never driven the whole thing, and I've always wanted to. I would say my Mustang, but the back seat is too small. So
yeah, but they could be sat on the back, you know, on the shelf at the back with their feet on the rear seat.
No, that's too far to drive for that. So if we're cruising Route 66, we're going to do a 69 Cadillac convertible. I'm going to go with white with red interior.
Love it. So far, right, picture that. So I love that. So we got a white, red interior, 69 Caddy, and we are starting in Chicago. Or we're starting for Route 66. We're going to start there, or we're going to start on the West Coast and drive to Chicago.
No, you got to chase the sun. You got to go. You got to go ahead.
Start in Chicago.
Yes.
Right. So we're starting off in Chicago. Who's beside you in the passenger seat? Anyone alive or dead?
An igloo cooler full of beer.
I like the sound of that. I like the sound of that. And you'll get DUI'd very, very quickly.
No.
Because you're an ex-cop. You should know this.
No, because somebody else is driving. I'm in the passenger seat, and the cooler's here, and then there's the driver.
No, it don't work like that, right? So you're behind the wheel. You've got to have somebody to chat to in the passenger seat whilst having a beer.
Okay, I can't have the beer while I'm driving, so the cooler's in the back seat. Safely secured.
Secure.
And so in the passenger seat, you know, on a road trip like that, you know, everybody would expect me to say my lovely wife, but she's not going to put up with that. She's too beautiful.
You can't have your wife either. We need somebody that, you know.
She's too beautiful and too perfect to be out there with her hair blowing in the wind.
Could be your favorite rock singer.
You know, I would probably go a little bit weird on this one, and I would go with Elon Musk.
I get that.
Because
I get that.
I don't know if he's crazy or if he's a genius or both, but he's really pushing the envelope on a lot of stuff.
I think you find he's both.
Yeah. So I just want to hang out with him and see what's up. I don't care about any other richest people in the world.
Also, I get a funny feeling that Elon will be in the cooler dipping into the beers. He strikes me as that kind of guy.
Yeah, for sure. So now we got to go to the backseat.
Yeah, so who we got in the backseat? So remember what we're in. We're in a 69 white caddy, red interior. You're driving. Elon Musk beside you. In between you, you've got a cooler full of beers, your new own branded beer.
Hopefully one day.
So who's in the backseat?
It's
good, isn't it? This is good. I love this.
This is a hard one,
this
man.
This is good, isn't it? I really love it.
If you really think about it, you're like, how do I figure this out?
Frank Sinatra?
No.
Your favorite country and Western singer?
No. I would definitely 100% have my best friend Dennis Collins with me.
Dennis Collins, of course.
He has to be there. He's been my confidant and my co-criminal, you name it, for about 25 years.
I think the easiest way to describe him as the wingman.
Well, no, I've had to wing him a few times.
Oh, right, okay. Okay. So you got Dennis behind you. Who's in the other seat?
Let's see. In the back seat, other than my wife, I'm going to go with... Well, we're going to go New Day today, right now.
Yeah.
And we're going to go with Paige Spiranek, the golf girl.
Paige Spiranek.
I think that's how you say her last name.
Okay, Paige Spiranek, because I'm not going to be able to repeat this several times, is sitting next to Dennis Collins.
Yeah.
While you're up front trying to work out if Elon Musk is just as crazy as batshit, whilst you're cruising in a 69 caddy, you've started in Chicago, you're on Route 66. We know where you're going. You're heading to the West Coast. You're going to end up at Santa Monica Pier. However, what are you listening to on the radio?
Oh, dude, I'm telling you right now, it's all 80s and 90s hair band rock and roll.
I love that.
Poison, Guns N' Roses, Winger, Great White, you name it. But if it gets a little bit funky, I'm going to jump into the 90s beginning of rap. LL Cool J,
love
NWA,
it.
All that kind of stuff.
Love it.
So that's where I'm usually banging my head.
Right, you haven't got one. You've got a mixtape. It's a mixtape in the deck, and you've got a bit of LL Cool J with a bit of NWA together with a bit of Guns N' Roses.
Absolutely.
Oh, I just love that.
And some Great White, some Poison, some Van Halen, Metallica.
I love it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I can visualize it already. It's the white 69 caddy. We've got Paige Spiranek in the back, Dennis Collins drawling all over her, Elon Musk sat beside you, telling you about how he's going to build a floating city. He's drinking out the new Richard Rawlings beer, whilst your arm out cruising down Route 66 on the way to Santa Monica Pier. What are you snacking on?
Oh, I'm from Texas, so it's beef jerky, Slim Jims, Munchos, which are pretty hard to find out.
I'm not too sure Paige Spiranek is going to be joining you.
Oh, I think Paige likes a good meat stick.
Okay, that's good. I'm sure she does. Well, you can't hit a ball that hard unless you like chowing down on the meat stick.
Yeah, there you go.
No, I mean, but, it's just lovely.
Yeah. So just all the normal good road cruising food. Beef jerky, Slim Jims, Munchos.
Right now, we always ask Michelle, my lovely wife, who you have met, my lovely wife, we asked her to give the killer question. And the question that she usually asks is quite deep and philosophical.
Uh-oh.
So I said to Michelle, what's the question for Richard Rawlings? And she said, ask him this.
It's been great having you on our show today. My killer question is, if you weren't Mr. Gas Monkey, what direction or road would you have gone down? What would you be doing now?
If I wasn't Gas Monkey, where would I go or what would I be?
What would you be? Yes.
You know, I'd probably be rich and very successful. I don't know. No, if I wasn't Gas Monkey, I'd probably still be in the advertising and printing world. I was lucky enough to be very good at that and built a really, really great company and sold it. So I'd probably still be just doing that,
Fantastic.
Or, like I said, I'd be rich and successful and be on my yacht somewhere and what have you.
Sounds good to me. Richard, I can't thank you enough for taking the time out today to be on the Wheeler Dealer podcast. It's been a real treat for me. I know it's going to be an amazing treat for our audience.
You're absolutely.
Absolutely amazing guy. It's a pleasure knowing you. And yeah, just make sure you keep my number in your phone for whatever happens in the future at Gas Monkey.
You never know.
You never know, Richard.
You could be the Gas Monkey dealers.
There you go. Gas Monkey dealers. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Mr. Richard Rawlins.
Woo!
Mike, it sounded to me an awful lot like you enjoyed that. You guys, clearly great mates.
Yeah, we go back a while, and he is a proper Wheeler dealer. Let's face it, you know, Richard, he's not only created what is a brand about cars and the hot rod culture, but also he's created a brand that he's put globally. I mean, everything from, you know, a mouse mat, a coffee mug, T-shirt, baseball cap, that brand has spread all over the planet, and he's a very clever man for doing it.
Yeah, also the two of you just proper mates, so it's always fun to hear.
Yeah,
you
it's always out. Nice. I mean, as long as he's got the beer assistant there, all that matters.
Thanks for listening and for being a passenger on the Wheeler Dealer podcast. It was brought to you by Gardex Group, the ultimate vehicle protection solutions provider. Whether you're buying your next car or an automotive dealer, go with Gardex. Visit GardexGroup.com. We'll be back next time with another trip through the automotive alphabet. So if you've got any questions for us, then please get in touch. Andy J on Twitter and Instagram, Mrs. M Brewer on Twitter and Instagram, and me, I'm Mike Brewer, Twitter and Instagram, and Wheeler Dealer on Facebook.
This has been a TBI Media production. We'll see you very soon.
Ta-da!
Ta-da!